Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armalee.
Well, for those of you watching online, I'm Pastor Gary Armalee, and this is the last part of the message on abiding. So if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. Well, Father, we thank you for a glorious, glorious anointing in here. Lord, I thank you. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We so want your presence, Holy Spirit. Lord, come, even in this message. Lord, speak to hearts. And Lord, whatever I don't have in here that you want in, I thank you, Holy Spirit. I hear your voice. And you bring what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to do different parts of John 15 here. Some of it's been covered, but I just want to, for a couple of minutes, recap some of the things that were said. To bring continuity, there have been some amazing things said already. So you have to picture what's happening here. They've been in the upper room celebrating the Passover feast. They're there with Jesus. This is traditional for them. But all along, Jesus has been talking to them about the fact that he's getting ready to die. And he's been telling them some pretty heavy things. And you know, you can just picture what they must be going through and what they must be thinking at this point. So they sit at the table. They partake of the communion table as we just did. He then begins to tell them that one will betray him and they will abandon him. And that by sunup, Peter is going to deny him three times. And then he tells them that the betrayer is in their midst. And so the atmosphere is starting to shift in there. On top of that, after the meal, Jesus gets up and begins to wash their feet. That's the job of a common servant, not of a rabbi. And Pastor Claude, just as we were finishing worship, he says, I see Jesus in the sanctuary, washing feet. He says, I literally see him going to people, washing their feet. So be aware of that as we move through the teaching, that Jesus may come to you and wash your feet. And I don't know if you've ever had your feet washed by someone who's extremely close to you. But it is the most vulnerable. It makes you so vulnerable. And it's so humbling. And you're so broken. And at that point, the Lord can touch the raw parts in your heart very easily. So when you get a sense that he's in front of you and he's washing your feet, let him do what he needs to do. Because it'll be very healing. So they finish the meal, and he's telling them, I'm going to be lifted up. They understood what lifted up meant, because around them was a culture where they crucified people. So that terminology for Jesus was pretty real, and for the disciples. But they don't fully get it yet that it's him that's going to die. Even though he's saying it, it's not penetrating. How can you let go of the one you love so much? So he's in the final stages of trying to prepare them for what's to come. And really for their ministry. Last Sunday, Pastor Rod talked about the incredible relationship that Moses had with the Lord. And how he began, even after the Lord changed his mind that he would go with them, and Moses was an incredible intercessor. And he knew how to petition God Did it several times if you read the accounts. But here, Moses, the Lord says in the scripture that he talks to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now that's a close relationship, a very close relationship. Abraham, Moses, David, they all had incredible relationships with the Lord, giving us a foreshadowing of what we can have. And that's what this abiding is all about. You know, the disciples were with Jesus day and night. John would lay his head on Jesus' breast. I mean, there was a depth of relationship there. And yet now Jesus is talking to them about abiding, because that's what they're going to need in the future. So Moses talks to Jesus face to face. But Moses goes even further and he says, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I want to see your glory. Have you ever cried that out? I sure have. A lot. I want to see your glory. Even during worship, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see more than I'm seeing now. I'm not satisfied where I'm at now. I want everything you've got. Come on. Why are we settling for this when we've got everything available to us? In one of the commentaries, it says, Moses' passionate plea to see God's glory is one of the most intimate encounters between a man and God ever recorded. Moses wanted an intimate knowledge of God. He had seen the miracles, he had seen the powers, and you talked about that. I mean, parting the Red Sea. I mean, does it get any bigger than that? You know? Watched all of that. And yet he wasn't satisfied. I pray we get to that place where we're not satisfied till we have everything he has for us. He was after God's, and God showed himself. He showed his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness. We've seen all that when Jesus went to the cross. So back to John 15. Jesus has given the final instructions, and that's what this is all about. And they're walking, as they leave, they're walking through vineyards to go to the Mount of Olives. Jack and I had the privilege of going to Israel, and I know other people here have too. They're incredible vineyards in Israel, and we've been to the Mount of Olives, and I can picture what it must have been like as they were walking. And he begins to describe to them who the Father is, that he's the husbandman. And he begins to talk to them about the process that a vine dresser has as he takes care of the vineyard. They're very old vineyards. And as I told you on the first time I taught, that vineyards can be 50 to 100 years old and older. In Israel, it says they can be up to 200 years old. So when a fire goes through those and destroys them, it's pretty disastrous, because those are seasoned, wonderful vineyards. Jesus was speaking to them in terms they could understand. This was all around them. This was common to them. But now he's going to make it very personal. They were very familiar to the process of lifting up the new shoots on the ground. They understood all of that. They understood the pruning because they saw it from year to year, from season to season, right? But he's now beginning to make it very personal. It's all about them and what God wants to do in them. Got to remember, it would be like being at the bedside of someone you're extremely close to, And they're telling you the last things they will ever speak to you. That's what this message was. Yes, he rose again from the dead, and yes, he was with them for 40 days, but this is in the human form as a man. Jesus had walked this journey out the same way we walk it out, with the Holy Spirit guiding him, right? And so this was his long last message to them. And so he was teaching them to abide in the vine, what it would look like, and how this journey that they would be on would bring them to maturity. So in John 15, verses 2 and 3, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. In the Passion Translation, it says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. So the husbandman is the Father, Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. Now I'm going to, I asked Pastor Jay for his notes because I wanted to quote what he had said by Wilkerson. Wilkerson wondered if the wording of cutting off every branch that bears no fruit made any sense in terms of a vineyard. One day he was teaching in California, and he suggested this idea to his audience, and a man came to him who owned a vineyard and said it made a lot of sense. He told Wilkerson that young branches, before they are tied to the trellis, tend to grow down into the dirt. When it rains, the branches get covered in mud, and so they fail to flower, pollinate, and bear fruit. The vineyard owner said that he regularly goes around looking for young branches in the dirt and lifts them up, cleanses them off, and ties them to the trellis so they bear fruit. I don't know about you, but when he read that, boy, did that speak volumes. When we hear about Jesus walking around the sanctuary, he may be washing some fruit in his house. When young branches fall into the dirt, the Father doesn't just throw them away. When the disciples would walk away from him and abandon him that night, the Father wouldn't just throw them away. When Peter denied him, the Father wouldn't just throw them away. He doesn't throw us away, church. Sometimes I think we receive lies from the enemy when we really blow it badly that that's it. It's not. Fruit represents good works that the Father has ordained for us to do. Scripture says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We bear inner fruit and we bear outer fruit. When we bear inner fruit, it's the Christ-like nature of Jesus Christ being formed in us. And I will go back to that if I have time. But it's Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I don't know about you, but I don't have all of those down yet. Maybe a few in here don't either. But God's sure working on it. Tell you, it's the season. We also bear outward fruit when we bring the kingdom of heaven wherever we go, when we evangelize, when we help others, when we serve others, when we bring a pie to somebody's house. You know, it can be simple things. It can be helping a widow. Whatever he asks us to do, that's outward fruit that reveals the kingdom to people all around us. And that's Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For me, part of what my good works was that God called me to be a pastor. He called me to be a woman senior pastor. You have no idea how many gentlemen asked me, Well, your husband is the senior pastor, isn't he? I have a lifetime full of it. No, I am. My husband isn't even in the ministry with me. He's a school principal. Oh, no, that's not scriptural. That was the work God had prepared for me. I had a choice to walk in it, get offended, and walk away from it. And I need to learn to cry out for a whole lot of grace. He says, you are already clean because the word which I have spoken over you. Isn't it amazing that the blood of Jesus cleanses us? Isn't it amazing when we get born again that we get a brand new nature? Brand new. Isn't it such a miracle that we're made brand new? It's amazing. And then there's the washing of the word. And Pastor Jay talked about that. It's Romans 12:2. We're transformed by the renewing of the mind. I believe it was 3 weeks ago now, Pastor Rod, maybe two, I don't remember, when you got the word gentle repentance on a Tuesday morning. And it wasn't that, you know, where you're just yelling repentance out. It was just such a gentle washing of the Holy Spirit in the room. I was privileged to be here. And that came back to mind as I go into this next section that we hardly ever talk about in the church anymore. And it needs to be talked about. Okay? So when we spend time in the presence of the Lord and we read His Word, in a loving atmosphere, the Holy Spirit begins to nudge us about things that are not right. Because He's a loving Father. He starts to show us where we're missing it. You know, we blow it. I do too. And in an effort not to be sin conscious anymore in the church, we don't go near these topics anymore. And so we're trying to find our way through to preach this message from a grace perspective and not a law perspective, which is very challenging when the former way of doing it was to do it from a law perspective, because that's all we knew, right? But I want to just say ahead of time that when I touch on some of these things, understand that all of this plays itself out in a fashion where Christ's nature is already in us. And when we find ourselves, you know, blowing up at a spouse, getting mad at a friend, whatever it may be, telling a lie, all the stuff that we still step into from time to time and get frustrated with ourselves and want to beat ourselves up, the Lord wants from us, I see that. Lord, please forgive me. I didn't represent you well. Form your nature in me. No condemnation. And so I want to present that today, this today, from that perspective, okay? I want to set that up. This is not law, but it is what the Father does. Deuteronomy 8:5, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Revelations 3:19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Father loves us enough to step in to lift us away from our destructive and unfruitful pursuits. Yeah. He loves us enough to shift us and to tell us when, if we're listening. And that's why abiding is so crucial. If we're not abiding, we're just going to live life. And when we live life at a heavy speed and we don't stop to listen to the Holy Spirit, the nature that the Lord is trying to bring out of us that's already in there, it doesn't happen. And what the world needs now is to see a church that's not hypocritical, that's not just going through its religious activities, but a church that is Christ-like and lives like Jesus Christ. They've had it with religion. They don't want it anymore. They don't need the prophesying with the these and the thous. They need people to live life like Jesus lived it. And when they come near us, they would feel what Jesus, what they felt when they got near Jesus. And so that's what he's actually trying to form in us. And this particular season that we're in, this time of reset, has been tailor-made by the Holy Spirit. We can blame it all on the enemy and do all that we do and go into all that stuff. But I'm telling you, if we're wise stewards right now and sit with him, what he's trying to do, his greater purpose is to get us into that place where we're intimate with him, where we're transformed in his glory, and we walk it out no matter what comes. That people, when they come near us, all of a sudden get hope. When people come near us, all of a sudden they get healed. You know, I was reading about the woman with the issue of blood, how she pushed it all aside to get near Jesus. And one of my devotionals is by Kenneth Copeland, and he'd been sitting with it. He'd read that over and over again. I'm off track right now, but I need to put that in here. Over and over, he sat with that scripture and he put himself in the place of everybody in that reading. And finally, he said, God, there's something you want me to get and I'm not getting it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Kenneth, why don't you put yourself in my place as the master? And it just shook him when he heard it. He said, aren't you supposed to be like me on the earth? Shouldn't people be able to come near you and you be so sensitive to me that issue leaves you and you know it? Right? I thought, we know it. But abiding is part of that, setting time aside to be with him. Jesus modeled it. He went up in the mountains constantly to talk to his Father. And he was flesh and blood, human being, led by the Holy Spirit. And that's how he got where he got. And that's where we have to get. Jesus was sinless. But the disciples weren't. Nor are we. Only because Jesus has washed us. But we're still walking that out, right? So, in the Passion Translation, Hebrews 12:5 reads like this. And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, my child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord God, or get depressed when he has corrected you. For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, it proves you are his delightful child. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured his correction, it only proves we are strangers and not sons. That's the word. God does correct us. God does discipline us. And the enemy tries to tell us he doesn't love us. But when we are disciplined by the Lord, it's because he loves us. And there is a destiny and a place God's trying to take us. And that's going to take us out of the way if we stay in that place. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is no different than the vine dresser redirecting a branch that wants to go its own way. Right? God's correction is to lovingly and wisely lead us towards the life and character our hearts long for. He does it all out of a place of incredible love. And so when we're in a position where, you know, we've got offense, bitterness, unforgiveness sitting deep down inside of us and actually can make us sick. You know, we're angry with people. We've been separated from people. God wants to deal with that. And it isn't always fun. And it can be painful. And it can be humbling and humiliating when he says, I want you to call that aunt or that uncle or that cousin or that friend up that you haven't spoken to in 10 years because you're holding something in your heart against them. And you're actually drying up because of it. You're afraid to come into my presence because of it. The Lord says, I love you. I'll go with you. I'm not even going to send you alone. I'm going with you. Repent. Repenting and making changes can be difficult. It really can. I can remember, and my sister's sitting in the front row here, but Joanne, you'll remember too, Dad had a certain look and a certain set of his lips. And we would know. We would look at him and we would know right away. Oops, gone too far. I'm in trouble. You know, he just had that look. We very seldom got spankings. But there was a look about him. And us girls, we just loved Dad. And we didn't want to displease him. And so there was a very quick turning around when we got that look. And probably all of you can relate. But as I was sitting there on Friday night, I thought, yeah, I remember the look. Yeah. And Dad corrected us because he loved us. You know? Our parents corrected us because they loved us and didn't want us going off track. God can make himself heard in many ways. A prick of the conscience. A timely word from another person. If you ever had someone say to you and you know they're right on and you're just like, didn't want to hear that. A scripture that he brings to the surface, right? All of a sudden it's like, Lord, you're talking to me. The preaching of the word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we're wise not to shun that or push it away. Because God's building in us the capacity to be more fruitful. It's all about bearing fruit for the kingdom. John 15:2-3, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can be even more fruitful. Do you think God prunes? Yeah. And there's reason why the husbandman does that. I'm going to go into that in a minute here, but the disciples understood that to get more from a grapevine, you had to go against the plant's natural tendency, okay? Because that's why a vine dresser does that. You know, the vines want to go every which way, and they want to grow lots of leaves and very little fruit. And they want to grow fast. And so they have to prune them. And I did some looking again on Friday at vineyards. It's really interesting how that all works, you know. I have an interest now to go and really see what the pruning looks like in the vineyard. Because they really cut them back. Like, really cut them back. So the grape has a tendency to grow very vigorously. And if they don't cut them back, there will be so many leaves that the sun can't get through. And then the flowers don't produce and you don't get grapes. When we become a Christian, we begin to run very hard for the Lord. And most of us, if we've been walking with the Lord for a while, we can look back over our life and remember when everything was brand new. Right now we're pretty curtailed. We can't go too far. It's all online. But years ago, I mean, we started hearing about conferences and Bible studies, and this church was doing this, and that church was doing that, and you wanted to go to it all. You remember that season in your life? If there was a conference, I'm going. It wasn't even a question of, Lord, is this the right one? I'm going. There's a conference over there, and they're feeding the hungry over there. I want to be involved in that. And they're having a Bible study at that church. I'm going there. And there's another one there. I'm going there. And there's a prayer meeting here and prayer and fasting there. And we would just run, run, run. Can anybody relate? And the Lord, when we begin to sit with him, begins to slowly pull us back. Because if he doesn't, we become totally work-oriented. And we get into a lot of religious activity. We're hungry, and that's good, and that's correct. But in order for us to produce fruit, the kind that God has for each of us individually, he has to work with us. He has to cut us back. And I can remember when he began to cut me back. I had just begun my training to become a pastor. And I was being trained under Sister May. And, you know, friends were going here, there, and everywhere. And I can remember them coming to the house to get me. And the Lord had been dealing with me. And he said, Gary, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay with me today. You know, I had to come to that decision, and I did, but it was a hard one. And because I wanted to go, because I was used to going. And then it happened again and again and again and again. He was cutting me back. And he was cutting me back because I needed to sit with him. He was cutting me back because I needed to be in the Word. He was cutting me back because not every place I was going to was really feeding me the way it should. The other thing he did, when we talk about pruning, he removed friends from my life. We lost couples that we were close to, that we had a lot of fun with. And one by one, they began to fall away. And I instinctively knew it was God, but that didn't make it any easier. I remember crying at night beside Jack. He said, why are you crying? It's because all our friends were being removed. But you see, some of those friends that we had were wonderful people, but they didn't believe in women in ministry. That was part of it that he was removing. And part of it were real fun people, and we loved being with them because they loved to party and they were fun people. But it didn't fit with where God was taking me. And it would actually take me off track. And today I can see it as clear as can be. But then it just hurt. Right? And then I got prophetic words, and the Lord says, I'm going to separate you even more unto myself. And I'm thinking, I said yes. Okay, Lord, you're worth it. There was a lot of separating and a lot of setting apart for seasons of my life. Today, I'm so grateful that I heard him. Today, I'm so glad I responded. But at the time, it was very painful and not easy. He removes growth that is dead or dying. He cuts away growth to allow the sun to get to all the fruit-bearing branches. He prunes to increase the size and quality of the fruit to encourage new fruit to develop. So what are we wanting? Right? What are we wanting? Why are we here? What's our purpose? Aren't we here to reveal Jesus to the world? And so does our vine not have to have fruit on it like his, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of long-suffering, of a rich anointing, so that when they come near us, they're lifted up, they're hope-filled people. To represent Him. And so, the pruning is about self. In pruning, God asks us to let go of the things that keep us from His kingdom purposes. For me, it had to do with the ministry call. I remember Pastor Jeff was in my home, and I think we were still in the Woodsley facility, and I struggled with my mom. We just clashed spiritually more than anything. I loved my mom, it wasn't that. But I can remember just struggling, and Pastor Jeff being as perceptive as he was. When you have two prophets really in your house, look out. Everything that can be uncovered gets uncovered. And anyway, he sat me down and he said, "Gary, hear me. To the measure that you love your mother will be the measure that your ministry will be." Oh, my God. I can just remember sitting there looking at him dumbfounded. I don't think I said anything. I thought, Lord. And I loved my mom, but there was a clash in the spirit. And so, trust me, a little repentance time, a little praying time, a little crying out for, oh, God, help me. Seriously. You know? Because it was in the spirit realm. I could serve my mom. I could love my mom in the natural, but we clashed in the spirit. My mom had a very strong religious spirit on her, and it warred against me in my own house, which is very difficult. And I had 4.5 years to get it right. So I know about pruning. When the Father does some pruning in our lives, it's not because we're doing something wrong. It's because we're doing something right. We're pressing on to Him. We want more of Him, right? We tend to take it all as, I must be terrible. It's not. He's helping us to grow and mature. One of the areas that I see that this is going to play itself out very powerfully in this next decade is in the mouth. Because it's the decade of the mouth. And so when the Holy Spirit starts to check us about what we're saying, we need to pay attention. When He brings to remembrance something we said during the day, when we're getting ready to lay our heads down, and it doesn't line up with what He's saying, we better pay attention. Because our words are powerful in this hour. And it's setting up the house of the future for all of us. So what we're declaring in this hour is what the future will be. Come on. Declarations made with our mouth are going to set the tune for our lives 10 years, 20 years from now. So we really need to be very careful what we release. And the Holy Spirit will prune us if we want to be close to Him. So be aware of that. I just felt to put that in this morning. The vine's ability to produce growth increases each year, but without intensive pruning, the plant weakens and its crop diminishes. Mature branches must be pruned even harder than the young ones. That's what I said when I saw it. Mature branches are pruned even harder. That we have no dead wood. So we say, Lord, you know, I do, you know, like some of us are in here are getting older. Well, I don't want to be unfruitful when I'm older. I want to bear the most fruit I'll ever do in this season of my life, because I now have maturity on my side. come on. It's not time for those of us that are older to say, well, you know what, I've done my part. No, I want to be so rich with him that I'll be like Pastor Johnny, who was laying on his deathbed in a hospital in Indiana, those of you who know Johnny, and as the nurses were coming in, they were getting saved one by one. They were getting healed. He did it until his last breath, and the anointing got stronger as he was dying. And I said, God, let it be so. Come on, that's the way it's supposed to be. That we're so rich and full of these juicy grapes in the end of our life. Because we have the life's experience now. The Holy Spirit's done his work. So to think that as we get older, that we sit down and just retire and be nothing? No. I'm going to run hard. Amen? So I got to close up. What time is it? It's time to close up, isn't it? Yes. All right. Sorry. I can't see the clock. I really can't. I can't see the hands. You know, you look at David, Paul, the Apostle Paul. You look at Peter, you look at James. They received the message that Jesus was giving them. They heard it. And this is what Paul says in Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, God in Christ Jesus. That is what we're called to do, is to press in for what God has. Pastor Rod, you referred to a brother last week that had such a close walk with the Lord. And so Brother Lawrence is who it was. I have his book. Learn to sit with him, he says, and then abide with him every moment of the day. He says, I do nothing else but abide in his holy presence. And I do this by simple attentiveness and a habitual, loving turning of my eyes on him. This I call a wordless and secret conversation between my soul and my God, which never ends. So when he was doing dishes, his eyes would be on the Lord. When he was mopping floors, whatever he was doing, he just was loving Jesus. A constant adoration. And in that abiding, we are transformed from glory to glory. It's amazing. It's not hard, but it's amazing. So, Father, I thank you today for the abiding that you're calling us into in this season. Lord, help us to be sensitive to you, not afraid of you when you begin to, Lord, reveal things that are not right, sinful things that we, thoughts that we have, actions we do. Lord, you know what it is. And help us to see that we're not representing you. Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us to say no, so that we become more and more like you. And Lord, when you remove some things out of our lives that don't fit with the call, don't fit with the walk you have for us, don't fit with the destiny that's on our lives, Lord, help us to say yes to you. And Lord, when you call us aside first thing in the morning or in the evening when we're not working, and Lord, you ask us to sit with you, turn off the TV and look into your face. Father, help us to do that so that we will see the fruit that that will produce in our lives, with our family, with our friends, with our co-workers, wherever we go, that they'll see Jesus, that we'll be the walking epistles on this earth in this hour, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.